through the next few verses. And follow along, if you would, in your scriptures there. Verse number 15, it says this: "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." I mean, we've used this, and I've talked to teenagers and adults alike. You know, God has a divine plan for your life, and that plan was not laid out based on your performance after you lived a little existence on the world. That plan was laid out long before you ever existed. God had these days laid out for you long before you took your very first breath. He put in some details into your life. I like that. "While I was in utter darkness and seclusion in the womb of my mom, you were there." Matter of fact, for anybody that has bought into the worldview that abortion is okay, these verses directly prove that there is life in conception. Now, if you have experienced that or made that decision in your life, there is no condemnation in that statement we just made. That is not to shame you or to belittle you, but let me encourage you. Let me just tell you this. If God was with them in the womb, He is still with them now, even if you made that choice to remove them from the womb. Matter of fact, I'm a firm believer. We had two miscarriages while we were trying to have children. I'm a firm believer that my children have been with God from the moment they left this earth. They have been with Him. I think whether it through a miscarriage, an abortion, whatever the choice, we have a good God today. Would you celebrate that in your lives? We have a wonderful God. I don't know about you, whether it's through miscarriage or better, whether through a choice. I do believe one day we'll get to heaven and we'll meet those children. But let me use this as an encouragement. All right. And while you may have made that decision, and I saw an immediate effect that hit some of you, I want to offer some encouragement. So can we do something? Can we close our eyes real quick so that we can just meet the Spirit right here in this moment, and then we'll continue. So nobody look, whether you're in the balcony or here, let's not look. Let's allow this. There have been decisions made, right? Many of you, and I want to ask you this question, not because I want to know for information purposes, but I want to speak directly to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking. How many of you today have been affected by a decision of abortion? Anybody like that? Would you slip your hand up? Nobody's looking. I'm clarifying that. Would you just raise your hand real quickly and put it back down? Many of you, take them down. Listen to me. That is a decision that you made in your life that Satan will no doubt, if he hasn't already, hold over your head. Something that even while we speak and we bring these words up, even while we make those statements, he uses it as a club to beat you down. Understand this. Tonight, I do not believe that God intended for us to bring up that thought and to show that power of life to harm you. Instead, I believe God brought that up to make sure that those that may be faced with that decision will not have to go through some of the struggles that you've had to go through in recovering from it. So while you're sitting there, and while Satan's trying to use this as a moment to destroy your worth or to belittle your decision, don't you dare surrender your joy. And don't you dare surrender your confidence. We serve a God of forgiveness. We serve a God of restoration. And we serve a God that is madly in love with you. But I guarantee you, if I could bring up the handful of you that just raised your hand and have you testify, if you were standing in front of somebody faced with a similar decision of the choice you've made, would you not advise them not to do it? Would you not stand and say, it's not worth it? All right. You would be in confidence in saying that there's a value in that life. Am I right? And if you're one of those and you say, yes, you're right, just kind of nod your head. You don't have to raise your hand. Just nod your head. And I'm looking around and most are nodding their head. Listen, understand this. Give me your eyes and give me your focus. If you have made that choice in your life, stop hiding from that decision and stop letting Satan define you by that decision and start speaking out to the truth of what that decision did in your life, and speaking out to the truth of what God's grace and mercy has done in your life, regardless of that decision. Your voice needs to be heard. It needs to be said. That story needs to be told. All right? You have power in you that needs to be used. Does that make sense? Satan will try to use that decision to isolate you. Why? Because if you were to speak out, you could spare someone from making a similar choice. Matter of fact, I know that in this verse, we've used that dealing with abortion in children. But that goes for every one of you. We said it this morning. One of my favorite parts of the David and Goliath story is that David got to use Goliath's own sword to cut his head off. What Goliath had brought, what Satan had intended to use to just torment and shut down Israel, God instead used to cut the head off the giant and to raise it in victory so that those that were paralyzed by fear would be called into action. And while you and I have made decisions, and no doubt every one of us in this auditorium have made some decision in our lives that we regret, some decisions in our lives that we hope no one ever figures out. Listen to me, understand this. If it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no need to be ashamed. If you've taken it to God, He has removed it. Aren't you glad that the cross canceled your record of wrongs? It canceled it. And when we confess our sins, aren't you glad that He's faithful? He's just to forgive and to cleanse. All right? How many of you have those stories? How many of you have made those mistakes? How many of you have made those decisions tonight? And you say, I've got a story that used to paralyze me in fear. Something I used to be ashamed. Something that brings regret. Would you slip your hand up? Just do it. Look around you. All right? Most of us do. All right? You need to equip that story with God's power and share it with others to spare them from making similar mistakes that you've made. I tell people, and I know one night in our Monday night Bible study, I was talking with Brandon, right, and Brian, and we were talking, you know, if God has pulled you out of a pit, it would be a total waste and a total shame if you never go back to that pit and try to help someone else out of the pit that you were trapped in. If God threw a lifeline to you, then you should return to that at some point and throw a lifeline of God's grace out to someone else. I am on a mission to help alcoholics get free of alcohol. Why? Because I was delivered and I believe that God can deliver others too. I'm not ashamed. Paul said this. I beg God to take this thorn out of my flesh. I used to be ashamed of these weaknesses. Let me paraphrase. He said, but I found that in my weakness, He is made strong. So now I boast. Now I proclaim. Now I tell people about the weakness in my life. Why? Because in that weakness, Christ is made known. Every one of us in here are weak, and every one of us are in a disease, a mental illness called sin. It has plagued our lives, and many of us have suffered the consequences created by giving into those sins. But God knew in advance that you were going to do that. And God knew that you were going to make that decision. And yet He still loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. And yet He still loved you enough to choose you and to plan and purpose your life. He knew that your life would be made of flaws and mistakes, and life would have inconsistency. Yet He still chose to offer salvation, to adopt you like an orphan into His family, and to make you an ambassador of God that goes and shares the good news to others. So let me transpose. Let's go from this, we're uniquely made, how wonderfully complex we're made. When somebody says, man, you're complicated. My God, he made my body complicated. But if I'm complicated in my attitudes and other things, I've got to work on that, right? But I mean, have you ever looked at the vascular system, the cellular system of a body, the DNA strands? How many of you have realized that there's so much that goes on in the human body that cannot be explained without putting this label that there had to be an infinite God with almighty power and all knowledge that could put this together and it function? Right? There has to be. Would you be in agreement? If that's the case, then understand that He put it together for a reason. And that reason wasn't just to exist and coast in life. You were not made to be invisible. Why? Because you were made to be a testimony, a reflection of God. You were made to make Him known to a lost and dying world. I looked at Libby today. She's a part of our shadow ministry. We spent all day together, right? And I told her, I said, man, isn't this a good way to spend a day? I mean, hasn't this been a good day? And she's right there with, yes, it is. And we had a good time. You know why? Because we lived in our purpose today. We walked in a fellowship with God, and not just in a fellowship, but we got to walk in a ministry with God throughout the day. And you know what? There's a great joy in that. I'm not going to lie. I have missed it. It's been about a month since I've been able to work my full Sunday schedule. You know, I have missed being able to sit down and talk with people. Somebody asked me when I got back, have you enjoyed your Sundays being the way they are? Absolutely not. I love a jam-packed schedule and being able to sit and listen. I love hearing the kids play. I love when our dance team is practicing. I love hearing our praise and worship team for celebrate. I love the Gimpy crew getting up here and singing. I mean, I love everything about it. It's a good day. Is it exhausting sometimes? Absolutely. But I'd rather get worn out serving God than to get worn out by a lost and dying, hopeless world. All right, now listen to me. Understand that if that is the case, then we got to back up. Let's look at Psalm 133. Now, I'm throwing all kinds of audibles out at you ladies. Yeah, can I just pause for a moment? Do they not do an incredible job on the screens and the things that they do around us? They really do impress me. I give them verses and scriptures, and I never stay in order. I always throw curveballs, and they always stick it out. Tanya did it for many years. I think she's glad to be retired from that position, but I'm so thankful for all those that step in. So let's throw an audible. Let's go to Psalm 133, and let's look at just the three verses there. There's not many verses. It's a short chapter. And Psalms 133, verse 1. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in what? Harmony. Goes on, verse number 2. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. You know, God uniquely made you so that you could be in connection with him and with other people. Matter of fact, if you go to our website, gracefamilytn.com, you'll find this little purpose kind of statement. Connecting you with God, others, and purpose. Why is that? Your church, we as fellow believers, should be striving to be in a harmony with each other that builds others up and encourages them to get out and to live their life to the fullest potential, to live their life serving out the plan that God has for them. I had somebody tell me recently, well, I've totally messed up God's plan for my life. Really? How do you think that you're the only person in the world that can corrupt an incorruptible God? How do you think you're the only person in the world that can flaw a God who has no flaws? There is no way that you can disrupt God's plan. God's plan will be fulfilled. Matter of fact, he even said it this way. If you won't worship me, the rocks and the trees will do it. All right, listen, they're going to cry out. Hey, God is going to be worshiped. God is going to be God. And there is nothing you can do to stop it. And so what is it they say? If you can't beat them, join them. All right? And if you can't, listen, that's not the reason to join the crew. All right? All right? God's good and God's full of love and God's full of mercy and God's full of grace. And God loves you unconditionally. That's the reason to join. But the reality is this. Stop trying to buck a system that you cannot stop. Stop trying to roadblock the power of God that literally can run you over in an instant. Stop trying to resist what God is trying to accomplish in your life. And if you want peace and you want contentment and you want fellowship and harmony in your life, surrender. Surrender to what God wants you to do. We told a couple this morning, don't hesitate. If God is telling you to do it, hesitation's where it gets corrupted in your mind. Don't pause. That's where fear and anxiety and worship. We turned around, worry. We turned around and told the church, hesitation when God has called you is when the enemy is allowed to get a foothold in your life. And if God has told you to do it, sure, it may not, and most time doesn't, make perfect sense. And it may not be something you can figure out. But the reality is, if God has called you to it, then I promise you, he is going to do something incredible through that in your life. And not only in your life, but in the lives of people around you. So I want to show you, what is the signs of a healthy fellowship of believers? All right, can we write this down? All right, number one, people are living out God's plan through their lives. A healthy group of believers are in full pursuit of God's plan being accomplished through them. How many of you want to be used by God? Would you slip your hand up? How many of you want God to use your life to reach other people? How many of you have a God story to tell? Matter of fact, every one of you that said you've made mistakes have a God story to tell. Aren't you glad that when God showed up for Adam and Eve, He didn't immediately wipe them out when they made a mistake? Instead, He made provisions to cover, to cleanse, and to purify the mistakes they made. So write these down. Number two, a healthy fellowship is full of friendly people. Now, I'm looking around here. I'm just going to take a moment. There's only one person that I know of that's here today that this is their first time, right? Am I right? Featured right up there in the balcony. Sorry about that. All right. My hope is, now, she knew some people coming in the door. So immediately, they rushed her and they hugged her. But my hope is that she was greeted by other people that did not know her when she came in. And if you're in a healthy fellowship, you are seeking opportunities to be friendly to the people that you do not know. Now, I know Eric's dad is here and mom, and they go to, am I right? New Market Baptist, that's where they go. But every now and then, they're able to come and hang out with us. I'm hoping that just because they don't go to church here, that doesn't make them an isolated person when they walk through the door. I'm hoping that as soon as they walk through the door, we see the opportunity to be in fellowship with someone that we do not know. Even greater, to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters that are serving God in other areas. All right? You know, we're healthy if we're friendly. All right? Now, I've been to some places that don't have such friendly folk in their congregations. Ever been there? You ever walked in? Now, I've been to some football stadiums that are the same. I mean, it's not comfortable when you ever walk into a situation where people aren't friendly. All right? You know, listen, if you're serving God and you're living out God's plan in your life, you're looking for opportunities to be a friend. To whether they're new, whether they've been around for a while, you're going after them. Third thing, write this down. A healthy congregation, healthy fellowship is involved in missions and evangelism. We are excited to get the word out there. I am chomping at the bits. This is the first time we've taken our youth group to a conference that they technically have already been to. And somebody said, aren't you a little bit worried that they're going to get bored? No, I'm a little bit hopeful that they're going to get active. I'm hopeful that they're not going to have to go back and refresh what they've already heard, but that they're going to go back with what they've already heard in their hearts and help share it. I'm hopeful that they're looking for the people, and I've had Carly's come up to me excited, other people, Abby's come up, they're excited to go. Some have been asking me questions every time I see them. You know, I love seeing that excitement and that joy. You know what that means? We're raising a healthy teenage group. This is the first youth group that I can remember that we've ever taken to minister. Now that is not a shame on them, that's a shame on us. All right, we should be cultivating an attitude of reaching out. We should be cultivating an attitude of sharing faith. Matter of fact, one of the things that I thought about doing tonight was saying, okay, David said, hey, thank you, God, for making me so complex. And I was going to just pass around a microphone and says, what makes you so weird? All right, tell me about it. What makes you so different? All right, tell us about it. We all have our quirks, right? We all have our different talents and abilities. We all have the different things that make us tick. I mean, those things are opportunities to be used to get the gospel out there. Some people do a wonderful job getting the good news of God out through their music ministry. And some people do a wonderful job getting the love of God out through their welcoming ministry. We met with a lady today, Connie, and her husband Larry. They're very passionate about our food ministry. Matter of fact, if you don't know, every Wednesday night, there's a couple that comes and sits in our food ministry, which is up in this area, for 2 hours, waiting on any families that are in need of food to come through. Meeting the needs of of right now church members, and we're actually in the process of creating some certificates to expand beyond it. And then one day praying that we actually have a second harvest that's telling us hopefully by the middle of fall that they're going to come behind us, supply the foods and other things so that we could go on a broad scale and meet the needs of our community. You know, you look at that, and I look, what a blessing to have somebody that's willing to sacrifice. Let me put this into perspective. Since January, we're in June, halfway through the year. You know how many families have actually showed up asking for help in their time of sitting there? Anybody want to take a guess? One. But they still show up every time. Why? Because that may be the day somebody needs it. And part of that is there's not a lot of exposure. We were talking about different plans of how to get that exposed. But aren't you glad that people use that ability to minister to other people? You know, I just think back, and you can go through every different area of our church, whether it's children ministry, whether it's Celebrate Recovery, whatever it is, we have people that are passionate about what they're doing. But that is all in vain if the purpose isn't to get Jesus out there. All right, our purpose is not just to give them food, but to give them a spiritual food, to open up a spiritual well so that they can be nourished and refreshed. How many of you understand where we're going here? If we're not involved in missions and evangelism, we might as well close the doors of this place. All right, if we're not a go church, we're not going to be a grow church. It's not going to be effective, and we're not going to see the blessings of God poured out. You cannot ignore the great commandments and the great commission and expect God's power in your life. Every one of us should be equipped and ready to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do I do that? Tell them about what God's done for you. This is a few more things, okay? A sign of another healthy congregation and relationship is there should be a spirit of expectancy, expecting God at any moment to show up and to show off. You know, last Sunday in our 11 o'clock service, we talked about this, and I'm going to get a little more detailed in right here with us. There was an evil presence in our service. How many of you were here in our 11 o'clock service? I've talked with many in our leadership. We could feel it. There was a danger that someone was in. And we can't tell exactly who it is. I know God responded, and many people's lives responded to what God was doing. And I pray that that's what God was trying to accomplish. This week, we walked in, I looked at Kay, I looked at some of our music leaders, and I said, hey, we're taking that down this week. That ain't happening. And we went into our 11 o'clock service with an expectancy of breakthrough in people's lives. An expectancy of seeing the power of God move in people's lives. And let's just be honest. If you were in our 11 o'clock service today, there was that spirit. We saw God working in lives and commitments and decisions being made. I don't even think we got out of that service till well after 1 o'clock. I mean, we keep that up, and we're going to get a reputation of being another denomination that we're not. All right, but here we go. Another sign of a healthy church is children, youth. Look around you. In this room, there's represented all different age groups. I'm not going to define those age groups. You know how to define them yourselves. But a church will die if it doesn't have a compassion for children. An outreach. One of the things I love about New Market Baptist and what they do is their program, their Bible drill program. They are very active. How many years have they been in that? Do you even know, brother? I know your grandkids have been very involved in it for years, but they are actively pursuing getting the Word of God into these children's lives. Not only getting it into their lives, but teaching them how to handle it. That is a huge part of ministry. Remember when the children were trying to flood to Jesus and the disciples were trying to keep them back? And what did Jesus say? Hey, don't hinder them. All right, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is it. Let them come. All right, now listen. I'm thankful for our children's ministry, but I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to make you a commitment. We're going to get better at that ministry. God has blessed us with about 70, 80, maybe even 100 kids. We believe we can do more in their lives. And in the next few months, we're going to be taking on that challenge. Hopefully we can get some of these seasoned churches to come in and teach us some things that we need to know. I mean, we need to be raising up warriors in the name of Jesus Christ, people equipped with the Word of God. How many of you have learned that you can remember more when you were younger than you can remember today? All right, yeah. Isn't that the truth? Matter of fact, some of you just forgot the question I asked, all right? But the reality is, hey, when you were younger, you absorbed it. It blows my mind. We can go over the Philippines, and there are kids that are 6 years old, fluent in two different languages. They can speak English just as well as they can speak Tagalog. It just blows my mind. Why is that? Because when they're younger, their minds are absorbent, spongy, and it can take things in. When we get older, things start hardening, all right? Things get a little, we get a little more stubborn, and it's harder to get some information in there. Listen, if we're not hitting them when they're kids, there's a good chance we're not going to reach them when they're adults. All right? Most adults have made up their mind. Matter of fact, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I'm not going to make them up. But look at the statistics of seeing people come to Christ before the age of 12 as opposed to after the age of 12. It severely starts going down. And if we're a healthy harmony in our church, there's a fellowship of children. We love children. So on that note, we need Bible school workers. All right? So just kind of throw an advertisement for Tanya out there. In just a few weeks, right? 7 weeks. We'll probably have about 200 kids in this place. All right? We need people that love the chaos that children create. All right? People that love the noise. All right? People that love the messes. People that are happy cleaning up Kool-Aid. All right? I mean, we need it. Why? Because, hey, we're going to pour Jesus into their lives. All right? So keep that in mind. I think it's the 23rd through the 27th of July. We're looking for that. All right, quickly, let's go through this. You know what's a good sign of a healthy church? People who are not afraid to carry around their Bibles. So here's what I want you to do. If you have your Bible either physically present in your lap or in the app on your phone, raise your hand. All right? How many of you have your Bible on you? Look at that. Look around you. All right? Now, this is the moment that somebody forgot it that normally brings it. All right? So, yeah, David. No, I'm just kidding. All right, I'm okay. No, but here it is. Most everybody has it. We live in a day and time where it's so easy to take the Word of God with you. You know, my Bible has seen better days. It has fallen apart. It's losing its binding and its pages. All right? It has seen better days. So when I go to the other countries, it's hard for me to take this. This is the one my wife gave me on the day we got married. It means the world to me. Do I have other Bibles? Absolutely. But most of them are in a similar condition. You know what I love? Is that I can download the Bible to my phone. I can shove my phone in my pocket. I can get a little compact Bible. Stick it in my pocket. Is that what you got? Right? Look at it. Hold it up. There it is. Yeah, I can get that. Stick it in my pocket. And I can literally, in my day and your day and time, take the Word of God anywhere. Anywhere. It's never been easier to have the Word of God on you. So why is it so hard to get the Word of God in you? Yeah, have you ever thought that? Why is it so hard to get it in our lives when it could be in America so present? Right? So a healthy church carries their Bibles around. A couple more points. Psalm 133. Look at this. It says, hey, living in harmony. Verse number one. Back up to it. It says, there's nothing better. It just gives this sweetness. It gives this refreshness. It gives this wonderful pleasantness. I don't know about you, but a happy home is a home that's built on unity. A home that's in it together. How many of you in here have people in your life, whether it be family, friends, husband, wife, children, that you know would go through anything with you? If you went through a hardship, you went through a trial, you know that they would be there. Anybody like that? All right. If not, you're in a good place. We would love to be that for you. Matter of fact, we made that commitment to a couple. They're expecting a baby, and they said, you know, we're not ready. You know, who was? That's the question. Who was ready? Even if you thought you were ready, that baby came out and you realized you weren't. I even sat there and told him. I said, the moment that Lincoln was born, I would have loved to see the expression on my face when I realized, oh my goodness, this is real. You know? I mean, he is here, now what? All right? I said, you're probably never ready. But here's the good news. We'll walk you through it. We'll be there. We'll help you. Some of you are single moms. Some of you are maybe just single in its entirety. Understand this, that there are people in the house of God, in Grace Community Church, that will walk through this life with you. That we will help you. We will be there for you. Why? Because that's what God has called us to do and is pleasant. All right, write these things down and I'll get out. You would think that by this time of day, I'm done talking. Imagine what it would be like to live with me. Isn't that incredible? All right. Anyway, all right. The next thing is there's a warmth in the air. There's a love that's contagious. I ran into somebody a couple months ago and they said, "What church do you pastor?" And I said, "Grace Community Church." And they said, "Oh, the Love Church." And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Next t-shirt right there." All right. In all honesty, if we're going to be known for anything, let's be known for that. All right. Why? Because that's who God is. God is love. And without His love, what are we? Nothing. I'm hopeless. So there should be a warmth. Next thing. There should be a variety of gifts and abilities being used by a variety of people. How many of you remember this song? Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Finish it. All right. You got it. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. If you don't believe in harmony and unity, you should have heard the chaos in that. Hey, it's a lot. It's hard to hear it when everybody's saying it at different times, right? It's hard to see God when everybody's living in different ways. There should be a unity there. And in there, there should be a variety of people being used. Now, I don't mean this as a racial slur at all. And we live in a day and time where you almost have to put a disclaimer anytime you're going to make this statement. I am thankful that we are not an all-white church. Amen. And I am thankful that we are not this church that has this segregated mindset. I have never in my life been a part of a church that's so accepting of anybody. We have people from all over the world that go to this church. You know, isn't that something that's incredible and fun? I'll never forget the first time we came back from the Philippines, standing here and saying, "My heart is just broken for the Philippines." That service, after it, three Filipinos walked up to me and said, "That did our hearts such good because those are our people." And you know what I said back to them? There are people too, all right? I mean, they're a part of us too. I mean, if Jesus loves the entire world, why can't we? And there should be a variety. There should be different abilities being used. I'm thankful that we have people that are okay with their abilities not being on this stage and not being constantly recognized, but yet they're still working, they're still laboring. So many have done so much work behind the scenes. I know that even while I was in the Philippines, Josh, Kate, and others worked so hard to progress on our property. Ross put hours in working in that building. I haven't been in it today. I'm excited to go in there. But there's so many that keep going. Wayne Vincent has done so much. Somebody, and I'm assuming Wayne, helped fix the rut in the parking lot while I was gone. I just this past week, I look at that and I say, hey, look, it's amazing when we're working in a fellowship where somebody doesn't have to pick up the phone and tell people to do what they should be doing because it's their gift. You know, you say, well, how do I know what my gift is? Your gift is normally validated by your vision. You say, what do you mean? If God reveals it to you, it means that He sees something in you that can help accomplish what's in front of you. Now, greatest example, and I always use it, is this. If God points out the tissue in the back of the church, He did not point it out. There's literally one. I'm going to go get it because I mean, what is this? He did not point this out so that you can complain about the janitor. He pointed it out so that you could stop, pick it up, and take it to a trash can. Thank God. I was so worried it was an actual tissue. It was saran wrap. You know, I was like, God, you would put a booger-filled tissue in the back as I'm using this example. All right, but the reality is this. If He puts it in front of you, it's because He trusts you. He's calling you. If there's somebody on the side of the road that is needing help and you're passing them and you feel the gut punch of the Holy Spirit, that's not when you get on your phone and call somebody. It's when you pull over, get out of your car, and walk up and minister. Yeah. It's when you go. Our church, about 3 months ago, did blessing bags. I can't remember who it was, and I'll probably get the story wrong. Angie, I think it was McPherson. They were in another city or something. They were going to do something. And they drove up on somebody that had a sign that said, "In need of a blessing." And in the back seat of their car was our blessing bag. If God can't make it any more obvious for you about what you need to do in that moment, blessing is on the sign and blessing is in your seat. Get out of your car, deliver the bag. You know, my brother-in-law is about to become a highway patrol in about 6 months of academy. He said, "Are y'all ever going to do that again?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "I would really like to have about 10 of those in my trunk. You know, in my squad car." He said, "Ever since we did it, it's just ringing in my heart. I'm going to come in contact with a lot of needy people." You know what I look at? I look at that and I say, thank God. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I and my wife and my mother-in-law and others have been terrified. And I'm not saying that's godly at all, by the idea of him pursuing a police career with the way that police are viewed and attacked in our society. But look, it is not our place to hinder the calling on his life. And it's not our place to hinder the calling on yours either. And if God's calling you, by God, stand up and be found faithful. All right, a healthy church has a variety of gifts. All right, are y'all still with me? One more? I got to clear my eyes for it. Ready? All right, last thing, number 9. A healthy church has servants in the parking lot, greeters at the door, laborers in the field, preachers in the pulpit, teachers in the class, ministers, missionaries all over the world. A healthy church can be found with its people present in multiple areas at the same time. A healthy church is not defined by the number of attendance we had this morning. A healthy church is defined by the number of servants that will be found in the fields tomorrow morning, the next morning, and the next morning. We're not healthy if all people get of God and do with God is in our church. If all they do is worship Him here, we're not healthy. That's not harmony. A healthy church has worshipers that worship Him out there, that celebrate Him at workplaces. We taught our virtual youth today, and listen, Satan's really fighting. We got our connection good, and their connection went bad. Today, it was so bad that they, literally, I called them on the phone. I said, forget this. Called them on the phone. They held my phone to a microphone. And when they couldn't, we walked outside. I don't know what happened, but it was blistering hot out there. But we walked outside, and I told them, there is a reason why Satan did not want you to hear this today. And we took them to Kings. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I know I say that a lot because they're all good. All right? Elijah walks up to Ahab, and he says, go get something to eat and drink, because I hear a rainstorm coming. In a season of drought, in a season of famine, when desperation was everywhere, he delivered the good news that refreshment was on the way. Renewal was on the way. And we told them, you need to look for the good in life. You need to create good in your words and in your deeds in life. You need to relay good news to those that maybe have not heard it. And you need to act on the goodness of the things that are around you. You know, we need people. I told them this, and maybe write this down. Do you know that a second-hand compliment is more powerful than a first-hand? In other words, it's like this. I can walk up to Ross and tell Ross how much I love him and appreciate him. And I hope this is okay to say. The highlight of my day was your wife holding your arm in that service this morning. Yeah. That's been a huge prayer, you know? For those of you that have been walking in this, man, that's an answer to prayer. You know, I can walk up to Ross and I can say, Ross, man, I love your spirit. I love your ability to be unhindered in worship. That does some good, and I mean that from the sincerity of my heart. You know what does even better? When I've gone to Joy and said that, and talked about how, man, how good Ross is and how much God's working in his life, and then Joy goes to Ross and tells him that. That's a secondhand compliment. I mean, it's easy to get gossip going. Why don't we reverse the cycle? Why don't we get goodness flowing? Who is telling somebody else about the good things you said about them today? You know, we should be such encouragers and such servants of God that we're looking for ways to build up other believers. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be present to be built. I mean, it's sometimes good to plant a seed in someone else, knowing that that person will go relay that seed to the one that needs to hear it. I mean, how good would you feel if somebody walked up to you and said, "Oh man, your boss, your husband, or whoever's close in your life, you should have heard how good they were talking about you the other day." I mean, that's a whole lot better than feeling and hearing about how bad they were talking about you. You see, we talk about things like that and we start thinking, well, that's just odd and weird. You know why it's odd and weird? We don't do it. You know, we have this phoniness, this fakeness. Oh, it's so good to see you. If it is so good to see them, what effort did you make outside of that moment to finally see them? It's so good to hear from you. Well, did you actually make an effort to call them? To talk to them? I mean, I love those God moments when God puts somebody on my heart and on my mind. And I'll grab my phone and I'll shoot them a text and say, "You're on my mind. Is everything okay? I just finished praying for you." And they reply, "I needed that. How did you know? I have no clue what's going on in your life. I'm not some super spiritual, supernatural guy. But I serve a God that did know what was going on in your life. So he put you on my mind, trusting that I was going to make a contact. So how's it going?" And so in that moment, what happens? It's not the goodness of you they hear. It's the goodness of God. And we need to be servants that are literally carrying out the good news of God. Do you know the whole idea of a good servant is to make the master look good? And a servant that is a good servant, and listen, if you ever get a chance, and I know many of you are talking about going to the Philippines next year, the Philippines still actively uses servants. They pay them. They provide them places to live. It's not like slavery. They volunteer and apply for the job. When we go in the Philippines, none of the servants touch any food until we have been served and have been fed and are done eating. And when we are done and leave the table, the servants come in and eat the leftovers of what's left behind. The servants that are there, that work with us in the Philippines, are some of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. They're sweet and they're sincere. You know what they call Jack and Marpet? They're masters. They literally call them that. And everything they do with their master on their mind. They'll put bottles of water by our bed so we have safe water to drink. They make sure that meals are set and prepped on time. They'll go out of their way. Don't let one of them hear you say that you have a desire or a need, because they'll do whatever it takes to bring it to you. Why? Because they are in love with their master. And at the end of the day, I've noticed this in my life. We're leaving the trip and I'm always saying, "Jack, thank you for your hospitality." Jack looked at me and said, "This year, what did I do?" He said, "I didn't cook your meal and I didn't make your bed. But yet somehow I get the praise for what the people that work for me have done." Man, here's the good news. May we live in such a way that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, people are going to God and thanking Him for who He is, because His servants loved Him so much that they served in order to make Him look good. And a healthy church has servants that are happy and willing to serve for the cause of their master. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. That goes full circle to where we started. You were uniquely, fearfully made. You were made complex. The days of your life recorded in His book before you ever took your first breath. How well are you using the gift of life that your master has given you to
to serve Him and to bring others to Him through your abilities, your talents, your love, your harmony, your expectancy, your children. How well are we spending this gift of life? Now, I don't know about you. I spent a lot of my life wasting it. But thank God I can honestly say that for the last 11 years, it's been good to serve the Master. It's been fulfilling to serve the Master. Is there anybody else in here that say, may I die having spent my life well serving the Master? Would you slip your hand up saying, God, here am I. So let me ask you this. Are you doing everything it takes to live in harmony with other brothers and other sisters? To live in unity with other believers? And to work with them to reach the world? If not, dive in. If so, keep going. Let's pursue at all cost the kingdom. Amen? Stand with me, grab somebody's hand, and let's close. Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, Sandy turned 63, am I right? Friday, all right, that's what I was going to say. So, Sally, make sure you get by, wish her a happy birthday, hug on her, love on her. She's going to Dollywood, all right? So, that's going to be a fun time. So, y'all pray and pray with her. We're going to have a prayer over her tonight. Is that okay? She's been battling some sickness. Pastor David's going to get some oil. Come on up, Sandy, if you don't mind. Matter of fact, if anybody needs anointed tonight and has a faith in Christ to heal, feel free to come at this time. But, Sandy, come on up. If tonight you don't mind, if you have a faith secure that God keeps His word and keeps His promises, as we practice a James 5 principle, if you would like to join us in prayer over her as we close, come on up, all right? Let's pray over her. You don't have to be a member here. You can be a guest with us. Come on up and let's spend time praying over her illnesses. She's had some stomach issues. She's battling some anemic tendencies. Her feet keep swelling. Let's pray that God touches her life, okay? So join me if you would. Allison, I'm going to allow you, if you would, just to anoint her. All right, there we go. And let's pray over our sister tonight, okay? All right. God, we just come to you and we thank you for Sandy and we thank you for how much of an encouragement she is. God, this lady has never forgot my birthday, never forgot my children's birthday, never forgot my anniversary. She cares about people. God, I pray that you'll reward her for her heart. God, I know that your word says that if any sick, let us call, let us anoint with oil, let us lay hands on, let's pray. God, I know that this oil is not special, that our hands are not powerful, but we do this because we believe you are powerful, that you are the healer. I'm a firm believer that the stripes that were placed on Jesus Christ's back were the stripes that proved and provided our healing. You say that in your word, and so I pray that you will just touch her body, touch her life. May you restore the strength in her legs. May you remove the stomach issues. May you take the swelling out of the feet. Would you put every cell into its original intent, and may she tonight be healed as an example of your power and your grace. God, I believe that you are capable. I believe that you can do anything. And so, God, we lay this at you with an expectancy, praying that your will be done in her life. God, I know she has doctor's appointments lined up. God, if your will is to use her doctors, give them wisdom and guidance. If your will is to miraculously heal her to right here, right now, then whatever it is that you're wanting to do, may it become a testimony of your power and your grace. God, we thank you for her. And I pray that her heart and her spirit is encouraged as those that are around her pour their love into her right now. God, we thank you for our church family. We thank you for what you've provided. We thank you for those that are in our church family that's universal, those that come from other churches that are worshiping and serving you, that lift Jesus high as Lord. God, we thank you that your army is not limited to a few, that it is universal. And so, God, I pray tonight that you bless their lives. Keep them safe. May we not forget the things we've been taught. Be with our youth group as they go out this week. God, I pray that you'll touch them and empower them. May there be just a unity in them as they minister and testify in your name. God, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the lives that have been impacted because of your word today. I pray that that'll continue through every day this week. We lift high the name of Jesus Christ. We leave confident in that name. And it's in his name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Get out, shake hands with one another. You're dismissed. Thank you, buddy.